It's good to be here, isn't it? Amen. I tell you, I've really enjoyed that singing and just thankful that he meets with us, Brother Dale. Amen. Amen. Don't have to be a Sunday morning. Don't have to be a Wednesday night. It can be out in the field somewhere. But I tell you, it's special when he meets with us right here in his house. I tell you, just the time of fellowship like that. And still just reflecting on Easter, just thinking about the crucifixion and everything that goes through, that went through that time, and just kind of thinking about it. But I'm so thankful for our Savior, and thankful to be able to stand tonight and preach tonight, and really been looking forward to it. Really enjoyed having Brother John with us, and just the service on Sunday. I thought that was wonderful, but I'll be honest, I missed preaching. I think it was Brother Tim I said, you know, that's kind of like the Super Bowl, you know? I mean, you think about that, that's a big one right there. And I've still just been really thinking about the Lord and just all the things that he's done for us. Again, not to just be repetitive, but if you will, let's turn to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. I think it's interesting in the Bible when you do have timelines and things like that. The way the different gospels, different things in the Bible gives us time frames, timelines, and if somebody can really wrap their mind around it, I'm sure they can retain a whole lot from that. You know, last week we were talking about the preparation day, which is the Passover day when they were preparing the lambs for Passover, which would be the day before the feast of unleavened bread. And so when you have those things combined, you have what they call the high Sabbath, so a special Sabbath. So they had the one that day before, and then another one 7 days later. A lot of math involved with all that, and I'm not trying to get into that for any specific reason, but I think it's interesting because when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, things are kind of moving fast. What I found, not to say that there's not some timelines and things given there, but what I found here in John, it seems like it slows down. It's like you can kind of take it one day at a time almost. And that's kind of what I wanted to do tonight. And looking at this, I was in reading and studying. I was like, well, I wonder if there's any scripture that says what was taking place around this time after the crucifixion. And we can see some things there that was given when they met in the upper room. And there was, I guess, about 10 of them there. Judas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there, so I think they'd leave about 10 when they first met. Where Thomas was at that time, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I think there's some people in the Bible that it might be easy to pick on based off of their personality and what they displayed in the Bible. Some of them, I think, some folks we see them as our hero, and you get behind them and support them, and others you might look at them and say, why were you that way? And there's many times I look in the mirror and I say, why are you that way? I think that's what's so neat about seeing the different personalities in God's Word, because I think we can see a lot of ourselves in those different personalities, maybe several of them wrapped up into one. But what I found interesting about this, what I was looking for, is to see if there's any kind of time frame, what was happening on the Wednesday tonight, the Wednesday after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. I didn't find anything specific for that exact time, but I did find this, and I thought this was interesting. So John chapter number 20, verses 26 through 31, gives us this account here. They had met in the upper room, and they'd been together right after. This is right after the resurrection, and when the Lord went to meet with his disciples in the upper room, you know, there was a lot going on. You think about the minds of his disciple, they were like sheep gone astray. They had scattered, they were afraid. Their Lord, their Savior, their teacher had just been sacrificed, and they're trying to take, crucified, and they're trying to take all that in, and they were there together, and the Lord met with some, but at verse 24, it does say Thomas was not there with them. But then when you come down to verse 26, some time had lapsed. If you remember also Mary Magdalene, you know, my Lord, when the Lord called her name, wanted to reach out to touch him, and he said, don't touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my Father. So some time had lapsed. We see here about 8 days had lapsed. In verse number 26, it said, after 8 days. So if I look at this correctly, That would be, you would have 7 days would be the Sunday, the next Sunday after the resurrection. And so this would be the Monday a week from that time. So that not this past Monday, but the upcoming Monday. So to kind of give you a time frame, I think it's very interesting how the Word of God gives us this. It slows it down so we can kind of take some things in. I know their minds had to be racing. And they're trying to put things together. They were fearful. But again, verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them." So he's back with them now. "Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, believing, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Verses 30 and 31 together, this is the key verses of the Gospel of John. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much already, Lord, for the sweet spirit that's been felt here tonight, the beautiful singing, learning new songs and singing together, working together. God, that's just a blessing to see that, to hear it. God, just how symbolic that really is, God. I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, what it means to us, what you can show us from it, God, and just help us to understand it. And God, I just really pray that you help minds and hearts tonight. I know several people, many people, trying to figure things out. Lord, maybe not coming from a mind necessarily of doubting, but maybe not fully understanding, maybe wanting to understand, God. And God, I just pray for your help. And Lord, I pray that you give that understanding tonight, God, to myself, to everyone listening, God, to whoever wants it. That's the beautiful thing, God. You don't cast anyone out. You don't turn anyone away. Anytime somebody reaches out to you in faith, God, you accept them. Lord, you take them in. Lord, you help them. And God, I just thank you for that. It's so simple, but God, it's so important to realize that and see that. God, there's so much to pray for tonight. I know so many, God, here in our church that are facing different treatments and things, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you be with them. We'll pray again later tonight. But Lord, I just, again, please be with Brother Robert, Lord. God, I pray that you also be with Brother Dale. Lord, just Mary Ellen, God, and what she's going through, Sister Jan, Lord, just the different ones, God, just so many, the list continues, God, but Lord, I just pray that you be with each one tonight and help us, and God, I pray that you be with the lost in our church, Lord, those that come consistently, God, and are here, hearing the word, God, I just pray that it prick their heart, get into their heart, God, and lodge there, that they can see and that they can understand and reach out to you in faith. Lord, go with us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So I simply want to entitle this tonight, After 8 Days. After 8 Days. So we have this chronological time that was given to us. For what reason, I don't know. But I think it's interesting because it kind of breaks down the time frame of what was happening just after this. And it slows things down. You know, as this was happening, as they were going through this, the disciples, even though Jesus told them, he told them many times, but it's like they could not comprehend. And now that it has happened, their mind is still swirling. You know, I think it's like that for us a lot of times when we get hit with something hard to face, it takes time to digest that and try to understand it. And something this large, you have all kinds of things going on here. The Savior had been crucified and then couldn't find his body at the time and then now come back. And then they were trying to believe that. And each one of them were trying to take that in and believe it. And now you see him coming back again, the Lord coming back again to meet with his disciples. And at this time, Thomas is here with them, and I think that is neat. Again, where he was, I don't know, and I don't know really that it matters. I don't know that it does, but just seeing that he's back here, I think the thing that matters is he's here tonight. And I think for you, the thing that matters is you're here tonight. And the closer you can stay to the Lord, the better. During whatever time that might be, the harder times or the easier times, I just want to say that right there, stay faithful and stay right with him. I think that's something that you can pull from that, but there's a lot in these verses. A lot can be said maybe about the glorified body that we received, the one that Jesus received after the resurrection, because we see here in verse 26, it said, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. They were together in the upper room together, and Thomas again with them now. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And so it gives us a picture of what it looked like. The doors were closed. Now you and I tonight, if the doors are closed, we're going to have to open it and walk through it. We just can't appear in the midst of somebody or a group of people. We can't do that. But what it says here, Jesus stood in the midst. And what I see there is he was able, even in his new glorified body, just to appear. And I think there's a lot of symbolism there when talking about the Holy Spirit. That's kind of how he is. He just shows up sometimes. You can feel it. I believe when the choir was singing tonight, he showed up. And I can feel it, Brother Tim. I can feel it. I say praise the Lord for that. Thankful for that. And he doesn't want his followers, his disciples, to be in fear. The first thing, he knows our frame. I love the whole jump scare thing. I like that. There was somebody walking, I guess it was yesterday. A lady I work with, and she had her head turned, and she's walking right toward me, and it was everything I could do not to jump out, but I didn't. I didn't jump out and scare. I stopped, and I told her, I said, now, had that been Brandy, I probably would have followed through, but I didn't, and she just laughed. But, you know, the Lord knows how we are, and he showed up in the middle of them, and he wanted to put them at peace. He didn't want to startle them, but he wanted them to know again that he was there with them, and he's got that way of reaching out to people and doing that. And now what is very interesting here, what I see in verse 27, I want to spend a little time here, is how the Lord operates with people and how he deals with people, how he dealt with them in this moment, specifically Thomas. How he dealt with Thomas is very much how he deals with you and me today. I think it's very symbolic that way. I know we can't physically see him, but thank God we can spiritually feel him, and that changes everything. You can be having the worst day ever, and he come along and scoop you up, and you can feel it. You can feel his presence, and that just changes everything in the life of a Christian. And then he saith to Thomas, so he's going to talk to him. He didn't get to talk to him last time. Like, he got to speak to the others and fellowship with them, and no doubt he wanted to fellowship with Thomas. You know, there's maybe like with having kids or maybe friends or acquaintances, you know, there's some out there that take a little bit more attention than others. Some people are a little bit more reserved. Maybe some people are a little bit more withdrawn. And you have introverts, you have extroverts, and sometimes people are just a little bit harder to reach for whatever reason that might be. Now, Thomas was a little boisterous, as you see what was said before. If you look back, he said, I won't believe unless I see him. I mean, he was kind of making a stance there. Unless I get to see him or touch him myself, I'm not going to believe that it's him. So he kind of already made up in his mind how he was going to be, where maybe the others were a little bit more welcoming and open-hearted about the situation. There's skeptics out there. There's some people that will not believe something unless they see it. And I tell you, I know some people's maybe been burnt a time or two or things and skeptical about things, and I get it. It's not good just to be following people. We don't teach our kids just to follow after people. Try to teach our kids to be good leaders, be followers of the Lord. But you see, with Thomas, he had already spoken out, and no doubt the Lord knew where he was coming from, but the Lord wanted to commune with him. He knew what he'd said. And no doubt he loved Thomas just like he loved the others. And he said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. He's saying, reach hither. See, that required Thomas to do something. That required him to do something. You know, Thomas could have said, I still don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe what I'm seeing, and I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. You know, today the Lord still calls out to you, and he calls out to us. He wants a response from us. But what you'll find, it's for a purpose. It wasn't to play any kind of games or anything like that. It was to serve a purpose. He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. He's saying, remember when I was on the cross, behold my hands. The last time you saw me, you remember how my hands were. You remember that. You remember where my hands were on the cross. You remember those nails that were in my hands. You remember that. And he's saying, reach out and feel my hands. You see Thomas do that? You see him reaching out, maybe touching his hands, feeling that, seeing the scar. Maybe, no doubt, maybe it wasn't healed. Maybe he could see it, he could feel it. I don't know if you can see through that or what, how that would look. You know, you see paintings and drawings, but we're talking about real life here. We're not talking about something maybe man-made. We're talking about what happened. You imagine what that would have been like. Thomas there, you imagine the others watching him, reliving what they experienced a few days ago when they saw him for the first time and took it in. And he said, you know too, he said, reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. So remember when that soldier reached up with that spear and thrust it into my side to make sure that the blood and water, make sure blood would fall, would flow out, that bones would be broken, but the blood would flow out to prove that I died. You remember that? He's like, feel it. I'm not on the cross now. I'm right here with you alive. He said, put your hand in there. Feel that. Feel that. You see, the interesting thing about this to me is that is exactly what Jesus does to every lost person that he reaches out to. He's saying, feel me. You say, remember, when you hear the gospel. Yeah, it was several times that I heard the gospel before I accepted the Lord. Several times. I couldn't tell you how many times. But I tell you, it's one thing to read it, but it's another thing to experience it for yourself. And see, that's what Thomas had to do. He couldn't rely on his friends. He couldn't rely on this or that. He had to experience it firsthand with the Lord Jesus himself. And that's what's happening right here. He's recounting the gospel to Thomas where he died on the cross. He said, look at my hands, look at my side. You remember those things. He's recounting where he was when he first saw those or experienced those things. But now, as a risen Savior, he's standing before him saying, now feel of me. And you know, Jesus was just as real right there before Thomas as he was on the cross. You know, when the Lord reaches out to us, when he meets with us and he communes with us, he is just as real with us here tonight as he was on the cross, as he was right there with Thomas, just as real with him. He's just as real with us tonight. And what he is saying here, again, it's so simple. What you see is the gospel. You see how to accept him. It says here, reach out. What I see, number one, is reach hither. Reach out. Reach out to me is what he asked Thomas to do. But then he says one other thing. Two things. One, reach out. Two, he says, and be not faithless, but believing. Believe that it's him. Believe that it's me is what Jesus was saying. Believe me. Believe me. There's nothing fanciful here. There's no tricks here. Just simply believe. Believe that it's me. And I want you to know, if you're wondering tonight, I know some people, I've heard people say this, I just want to feel him. I just want to feel the Lord in my life. I just want to feel him. Well, you can. He wants you to. He wants you to feel that. But there's a way you have to do that. You've got to reach out to him, and you've got to reach out to him believing. He doesn't ask a whole lot. He's not asking a whole lot in saying that. He says, reach out to me in faith, believe, and reach out to me. And he said, you know what? And I'll let you feel me. You know, that's the spirit of revival. That's how that works. You start crying out to him. You start reaching out to him. He lets you feel him and commune with him. There's nothing sweeter than that. Most precious, most important thing that you'll ever experience in your life. Now, you know what is so good about this here, verse 28, you see Thomas's response. I tell you, when you're face to face with the Lord, and I say that spiritually for us today, when you're met with the Lord and you're confronted by the Lord, you have to decide what you're going to do. You have to. Either you, by faith, reach out just exactly believing as he says here or not. That's something you have to do. But thankfully, Thomas does. And you say, well, how do you know he does? Because look how he responds. He said, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Well, what's significant about that? That's two personalities of God. And what you see that he said, he didn't say, my God. He didn't say, my Jesus. He didn't just say, my Lord. He said two things. He identified with who Jesus Christ is. The first part in what you see here, he says, my Lord. He said, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're the one that died on the cross for me. I now believe. I see you. I feel you. I know that it's you. But interestingly enough, the second part, what he says, my God. He's saying, not only are you the Son, he said, but you're the God. He knows, he identifies with the Trinity of who Jesus Christ is. And that's powerful. You know, that's the realization you got to come to when you think about the power of the gospel and who Jesus is. You think about the Trinity, there's a lot there. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you see, the Holy Ghost was promised. You see that coming. We're kind of in that middle part there after the resurrection, going into the ascension, and then the day of Pentecost comes very soon after this. You see, it's all coupled together. But you see, at this time, Thomas is identifying with the two personalities of God that he needs to. And that speaks to my heart there. But now look at verse number 29. I this is probably where a lot of times you say the Lord was getting on to him. A lot of times people get on to Thomas for being a doubter, for Peter, for being so brash. And I like John. I love the Gospel of John, but you know, he liked to pick with Peter about how fast he could run. I mean, as always, you know, you see that. You see Sarah, you see how it was. I didn't lie, but yeah, you did. I mean, you see all these personalities come out here. But Jesus is talking to Thomas direct again. And he says this here. He said, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And he's just breaking it down for him and plainly telling him, because you've seen me is why you believe. And see, that's a lot of times, that's where the skeptics kind of stay. I have to see it to believe it. They'll say, seeing is believing. There's some people that won't move off of that. When you talk about the creation, when you talk about different things in the Bible that people have a hard time extending faith to, it's hard to reach them. But I tell you, when the Lord touches your heart and you accept Him and by faith believing, trust in Him, He makes it pretty simple to you. You don't have to argue and few things. I mean, by faith, I tell you, it's a blessing to be able to do something by faith. I'm going to say this before I finish reading. You know, every time I read this account here, you know what I'm trying to do? It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny to me. Sister Mildred, I want to help Thomas along. I want to say, Thomas, now don't be like that. Just believe it. Just take him at his word and just trust what he's saying and just take him at his word. I'm like, Thomas, you walked with him. You were there with him. You saw the miracles firsthand. You were there and then saw the crucifixion. Then after the crucifixion, you're now still kind of questioning things. Isn't that kind of silly? I'll tell you what's silly about that. You and I have not seen God at any time, have we? Bible tells us that. No man has seen God at any time. We haven't seen Him. But is that not funny? That we might want to help Him along and He actually walked with Jesus and saw Him? Isn't that strange? And I'll tell you why that can be. We don't have any supernatural thing about us. It's not like that at all. But I want to tell you something about the power of believing. And that's what He's saying right here. That's what continues on. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but look at this. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Isn't that silly for me to want to encourage Thomas along? Shouldn't he be the one encouraging me? The people reading after this, I mean, shouldn't Thomas be one of the four at the forefront saying, hey, there's people down through the ages that hasn't seen this like I've seen it, and I want to help them. And bless his heart, I want to help him. That's the power of believing. That's the power of taking God at his word. You know, you can pick out any scripture that you want to. Sometimes people claim verses, but I want to tell you, you can claim every verse and believe it. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about accepting a promise that's not made to us, might be made to Israel, but I'm telling you, everything that's written down here, you can believe it just like Thomas should have believed. You can believe it. You can trust it. You can follow through with it. You know, the Lord has us, has our hearts in his hands. I mean, I tell you, he wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. And verses number 30 and 31, again, this is the key verses of the book of John. Anytime I was able to find the key verses to the books, the different books of the Bible, I tried to highlight those because it helps me center my mind on what that book is really trying to convey to you and me. You think about the Gospels, the Gospel of John is written to the church. That's written to us. So to show this is a promise for you and me. This is something directed at you and me here tonight. And you think about all the signs, all the miracles. You know, a lot of that has been displayed so falsely in things you see on TV in this day and time. Healing, you see it on YouTube and all this kind of stuff. People doing all this and chanting all that and claiming to heal people and stuff. We don't have that power and we don't have that ability. You know, that's something that strictly now is in the hands of God himself. There was a period of time the disciples had, the Lord gave them that authority and that power, but I believe that was ending as Paul was coming to the end of his life. As you see different accounts, different things that happened in his life, I don't know that he was able to heal at the end of his life. As you see the transitions from the book of Acts and to the New Testament church epistles, as you see those things come to be as to where we are today. But I find this interesting here, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So everything he did was not written. I think in the book of John, what I found in studying, I found that there's seven miracles that John recorded in the book of John. But I think in total, Jesus actually performed, I think it's 35 miracles in total that's recorded. Now, the Bible plainly tells us here, John tells us here, that there's many that's not recorded here. Imagine all the other things that he saw, that they saw, all the other things that he did. You say, well, why does that have any importance on anything? What bearing does that have? Well, you know, if God is God and he did not have the power to perform any miracles, how powerful of a God would he really be? You know, again, for a lot of people, when you see this transitional period, they had to see something to start believing. If somebody shows up, were to show up and say these things, but yet not be able to perform anything, why would you put any confidence in them? Why would you trust them? But you see, Jesus, through his humility, his humble way of doing things, he performed these things so people could see it, so people could believe. That's what the miracles were about. See, like you and I today, God still does things for us. There's no doubt about that. There's no question about that. But it's not something that we just pray and try to see if he's going to do a miracle or do something just to appease us. You see, the reason he was doing these things at this time is so people could have a way of seeing to believe. You say, really? That's what you think? That's what I know. If you look at here, verse number 31, to finish this out tonight, again, after 8 days, this is coming to an end here as we're heading into the book of Acts, or after this here, but verse number 31, it says, but these are written. He did many other things. He did many things that was in the presence of his disciples. But these things were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And it goes on to say here, and it says, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name. You see, you have an example. The example was played out in what the meeting that the Lord Jesus had with Thomas. It accomplished it that way, but what he's saying here, these things are written. We're not there with Thomas. We're not there in the upper room. We're here tonight. But we still have hope. See, that's what he's talking about. These things were written. As you read these things, as you see each of these miracles, you're saying, who else but God could do these things? That's a song, I believe, that's saying, who else but God could do these things? And that's what he's trying to explain here and what he's laying out to us. What John is saying, all these things were done. They served a purpose. These people in their time of need, Lazarus being raised, the water turned into wine at the wedding, all these different things had a significant meaning. People saw what he could do. The feeding of the 5,000, all these things served a purpose. That's how people knew that Jesus was God and could back up what he was saying he could do and who he is. Verse 31 again, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what you see Thomas, that's what he proclaims from his mouth above. And then it says here, and that believing you might have life through his name. I just think it's a beautiful thing, just how plain and how simple it is. These things were written so people can know they can have eternal life, but you have to know who Jesus is. You have to know what he did for you, why he did that for you. And then again, you got to reach out to him. And he's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to do that to you. He'll gladly take you in. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say tonight?
You know, the Bible don't tell us that Thomas reached out and touched Jesus' hands or in his side. But from the way Jesus answered him here, all he had to do is see his hands or his side.
Amen. Amen.
And but he believed.
Amen. 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 When you get confronted like that, you have to do something.
Yeah.
You know? Amen. I appreciate that.